A warm welcome to our Thursdays with David Foster Wallace series, where we every week read a section of the infamous Infinite Jest with the hope, of course, of finishing the book by the end of the year. Today's section is the Year of the Deep End Adult Undergarment, which is between pages 17 and 27 in the 20th anniversary Back Bay Books edition of the text published by Little Brown and Company. So I wanted to just note right out the beginning here, we're going to keep on with our 10 or so page sections until February, and by then we're going to start picking up the pace dramatically. Just because this book is so long, we really need to start reading 100 or so plus pages a month when we get later in the year, and this is your warning now. So starting out with this section switches automatically, you can notice it right off the bat, from first person to third person. So there's this omniscient narrator now that we're dealing with. And it's an interesting thing that David Foster Wallace does with this narrator, because although it's an omniscient narrator, it's sort of like the narrator in Crime and Punishment, in that we can sense the main character's thoughts as well as just the general pace of the situation from the main character's perspective, even though it isn't in first person. The time is measured in sunlight in this chapter, and that's what we really open up in. David Foster Wallace is known for his depictions of nature and the sun, especially. And from the first few sections, the first few paragraphs of this section, we don't really know who we're dealing with here. Is this Hal, or is this a brand new narrator? And there are going to be many brand new narrators in this book coming up, but we don't know if this is Hal or not yet. Maybe it's safe to assume that it's Hal, maybe it's just safe to continue without an identity. But we know this person has been waiting for a long time, and the time being measured in sunlight is one way to indicate that. So while this person is waiting, there's this issue of this bug on his cabinet, and the bug seems to be going in and out of this little notch or nook in the cabinet, and he seems to be really fixated on this bug throughout the chapter. And I was wondering, this is sort of my question for you guys, what does the bug symbolize in the novel, and what does the narrator seem to be afraid of in the chapter? What is he fearing? And this bug is, again, referenced throughout the scene. I have a quote on page 24 for you. Quote, "The insect sat inside its dark, shiny case with an immobility that seemed like the gathering of a force. It sat like the hull of the vehicle from which the engine had been for the moment removed." Also on page 24, I just want to point it out, there's one heck of a long sentence. It's a paragraph of a sentence, and I love David Foster Wallace's super long sentences. They remind me of Dickens, and I love that he was able to bring something from Old English almost. It sounds very modern, it's a very modern sentence, but he brings that sort of long, drawn-out style into a modern book. I love that. So later in the chapter, we learn that this main character is a weed addict. He likes to smoke weed, and his relationship with dope dictates his relationships with other people, and it dictates a lot of his life and his recreation. He's very meticulous about planning how and when he smokes weed. He seems to like the isolation of it and the secrecy of it. We'll get to that a little bit later, but I have a quote on page 19 that sort of sums up his relationship with weed and therefore his relationship with other people. "Money created a sense of obligation, and he should have wanted the woman to feel obliged to do what she'd said, once what she'd said she'd do had set him off inside." And my question, I guess I have another question, which is, what does marijuana do for him? I don't partake in drugs or alcohol. Maybe that's a conversation outside this channel, because this is sort of an educational channel rather than a social channel, but the weed, from what he is thinking and saying to himself, it makes him binge eat, it makes him more self-conscious, but what hits us really, and I think the goal of this chapter, is the secrecy behind the weed and his need for such secrecy. And the chapter at the end of the chapter climaxes with this simultaneous noise of the telephone ringing and the door buzzing. And I actually think that the chapter, this chapter, the Year of the Deep End Adult Undergarment, which is sort of an interesting name for a chapter, it's a different year than the first one, it mirrors the first chapter in terms of its climax. The final question that I want to sort of address today is the narrator Hal? I think the narrator is Hal. And the reason why that is there's, even though we don't get the first person narration that we did in the first chapter, and I think that's why it's difficult to determine right off the bat if this is or isn't Hal, there are more clues later about the answer to this question, which I won't spoil for you guys. But for me, we get the same precision. We get some clues into his thoughts, as I said, and those thoughts have the same circularity, tautology, but also the same precision and the same meticulousness that Hal projects in the first chapter through his narration. This sort of thinking, though, is just in a different light because of the occasion of this chapter, which is that he is going over thoughts of his weed addiction and waiting, in fact, for his marijuana dealer to come give him a shipment of quote-unquote unusually good weed. And so the fact that the chapters have this sort of similar climax at the very last paragraph is a key into, oh, maybe we're seeing Hal just a couple years later and a later iteration of Hal. Another reason is the bug. I think that Hal sort of has this thought process that plays out similarly in the first chapter with his thinking about his academics and the situation. He goes back and forth between his personal monologue and the dialogue at hand in a very similar way as this chapter plays out. And so I think overall that plus the secrecy component of this, you can sort of see that Hal is pretty secret, pretty private in the first chapter. I think those things all combined do make a strong case that this main character that we're seeing in this chapter is indeed Hal from the first chapter. Thank you guys so much for listening, and next episode is going to be on pages 27 through 39. That is going to cover the 1st of April, Year of the Tux Medical Pad, 9th of May, Year of the Deep End Adult Undergarment, Year of the Deep End Adult Undergarment, and Year of the Trial Size Dev Bar. If you enjoyed the discussion and would like to hear more from us, there's a show and a series for everyone, so I'd recommend checking out our website, relevanceofliterature.com, under the Ongoing Series tab for links to our entire back catalog of episodes. We also have a couple of open surveys that you can find through the links in the description, so if you have 3 minutes while you're waiting in line somewhere, we would very much appreciate your feedback on our show. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode, and we'll see you next time.